Right, so we're looking at this scripture from John this morning, and the heading of that portion of scripture was Jesus being anointed at Bethany. And just to give you a little bit of background to this, sometimes, you know, we just go into the scripture and we don't actually pick up on how this all came about and the background and who'd written it, etc., etc. So this morning I just thought before we dive into these next eight verses, I'd just have a look at the background here and, you know, why John wrote it. We see the author of the text, it is the Apostle John, the John whom Jesus loved. John was not only a witness to the things that Jesus said and did, but he wrote it all down. And we can see that in John 21, chapter 21 and verse 24, it reads, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things. He wrote it down and we have his testimony, which is true." And that is in verse 24. We have his testimony. What a privileged people we are this morning to be able to say that we have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which has been written down and passed on through the generations to us. And we just praise God and thank him for that encouragement that we have from his word. The time of John's writing, now scholars say this, it isn't in scripture, but the time of his writing is recorded between 85 and 95 AD. Now this suggests that John, he would have been between 70 and 80. That's great, isn't it, to be between 70 and 80 and still writing. That's, to me, that is amazing after all what he'd gone through. So the place of his writing was in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, he became the bishop of one of the churches there. And we just, again, you know, we've got the truth of the word from John. Now, Polycarp, I've got to mention this because I've been looking into Polycarp, and you may wonder, who is Polycarp? Because he's not in the scriptures. But early Christian writings, Polycarp, he was the bishop of Smyrna. He became a Christian martyr. John knew Polycarp personally, and they had many conversations. And John was sitting and writing, telling him all the things that he'd seen and he'd heard. And Polycarp, he documented all this. He passed on this conversation to Irenaeus, who passed, this gentleman, he passed through Smyrna on his way to martyrdom. But he stopped off in Smyrna and Polycarp met up with him. And he then passed John's readings and John's words on to Irenaeus. So we see there that it's written again that Irenaeus then, he went on to document, and we have it in God's word today about Jesus visiting Bethany. So let's just move on now and let's have a look at these eight verses and see how John interpreted them. We've all read this part of the scripture maybe many times, we see that Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem to Passover. But Jesus had some very good friends in Bethany, and he knew that he had to go through Bethany to Jerusalem. Now, from Ephraim, where Jesus started out, until he arrived with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, we read that he had him and his disciples. They had to walk about 6 miles. 6 miles on a hot, dusty road. They became very tired. They needed rest. They needed to recuperate. And most of all, they needed food. They needed something to eat. So we see that as they were going off to Jerusalem, we see that they were going to Jerusalem on a specific journey, and that was for Passover. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, it says there, "The Lord spoke these words, 'This day you are to celebrate Passover, and for generations to come.'" So again, Jesus and his disciples, they were being obedient to the scriptures. And for many Jewish people today, they still continue to celebrate Passover. What is Passover? Well, it's a Jewish holiday commemorating the liberation of the Israelites from ancient slavery. And Jesus fulfilled this teaching, as the Jews today still fulfill. At the time we see that Jesus, he was staying in Ephraim, which is north of Jerusalem. And I think we've got a map. Yes. I'm not so sure you can see that. Ephraim to Bethany, 12 miles. Now, I think as recorded, it was 6. So that's a bit of a mistake there. So then from Bethany to Jerusalem, they had to travel another 2 miles. Why did they stay off at Bethany anyway? Well, as I said, he had his friends there. And they were very good friends. And Jesus wanted to see them before he moved on to Bethany, on to Jerusalem. We see that Ephraim, where Jesus started off up at the north, it's a bit small, but where he started off at the north, it's a Christian Arab town on the West Bank, and now it's named At Tabe. So they walked on that dusty road down to Bethany, which lies east of Jerusalem. And then they stayed there with their friends and recuperated. What was the main reason for Jesus going to Bethany, apart from seeing his friends? It was because Mary, Martha and Lazarus, they were so important to him. And Mary knew that when Jesus arrived, she wanted to be at his feet. She wanted to sit. She wanted to worship her Lord, the one who had raised her brother from the dead. She wanted to sit at his feet and worship him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? To me, I can just visualise her sitting there. And sometimes I think, oh, I wish that had been me, being able to sit there. But having said that, my hair's not long enough to wipe his feet. So we see here that for the Jews, as they continue to make the Passover a holiday, commemorating the liberation of the Israelites from ancient slavery. Jesus fulfilled this teaching, as I said. The time Jesus could be found staying in Ephraim, he knew what his task was, and he knew he had to go to Bethany to meet and be with his friends. So they stopped off and they had a time of refreshing. Why stop at Bethany? Well, we see that on that walk, Jesus was tired. They'd walked on dusty roads. Many conversations would have been going on, but they needed this time of rest. He needed to see his friends because Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. They didn't know at the time, but Jesus knew. And he knew that maybe this would be the last time he would see them. Now then, can you imagine the welcome when Jesus and his entourage, when they all arrived at Bethany? Can you imagine when Jesus would probably knock on the door and they saw him and his and the disciples standing there? You know, the teaching that Jesus was able to give them in that short time he was there. Can you imagine the questions that the disciples, and there were onlookers there as well. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the questions? Now, maybe I've got a vivid imagination, I don't know. I would have loved to have been there. And the questions that I would have been asking Jesus, you know, and to be able to sit at his feet and just worship. Now, I haven't got long hair like Mary, but, you know, to be able to just be in his presence, sit at his feet and just worship. Friends, we miss out sometimes when we come to church. Question, do we come to sit at the feet of Jesus? Do we come to hear what Jesus is wanting us to hear? Now, all these people that were gathered there, there was great excitement. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. But there was a reason, a main reason why they all had to be in his presence. We read that, first of all, Mary and Martha, Lazarus, they opened their home and offered hospitality. They offered devotion. There was humility. And then there was extravagant love for their Lord. All for Jesus. And all shown by Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now we see that each one of these people, they had a different ministry. So this morning, I have been asked to just look into these few words by our minister. So let's just have a look, and we'll start off with Mary. A very practical lady. A story that's probably all well known to all of us. She's very practical, always busy, always attending to other people's needs. And yet we see on this occasion, even Martha became overwhelmed with the work. So many mouths to feed, no easy task for even her. How many ladies here this morning are very practical people? I'm sure we all are, aren't we? But my question is, do we set that time aside to spend time with Jesus? Are we a Martha, always busy, always doing things, rushing here, rushing there? Do we put that time on one side, friends, to spend time with the Lord Jesus? I just hope so. You know, Mary, on this occasion, she became overwhelmed with all the work that she had to do, providing for all these people, not just Jesus and the disciples. There was lots of onlookers there, and she had to provide. She was overwhelmed. Do we get overwhelmed with work? I'm sure we do sometimes. I don't, because I'm retired now. But I'm sure for you, some people, you can get overwhelmed and miss that time, that quiet time with you and your Lord. It's no easy task for Martha here. We see in these verses that she goes up to Jesus and she requests that Mary helps her. What was the reply that Jesus gave? Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. Friends, however busy we are, let's choose that better part and sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's choose that time to be in his presence. That quiet time where there's just him and you. It's just such a beautiful picture to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, who one day we're going to meet. And we look forward to that day, don't we? But Martha, we see, when Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part, I can visualise her going back to the kitchen. Now, if that had been me, I'd have been, you know, I've got any help here. But she didn't. She just quietly got on. She pressed on, and she got on to help. Hello. A question that comes to mind. Are we too busy to spend time at the feet of Jesus? Do we take that time to pray? To study God's word? Are there times when we all need to put the brake on and attend to the more important things? Being in the presence of Jesus. You know, as we go around our daily work, you know, it is difficult sometimes to just put that time on one side and spend time with our Lord and Saviour. So we need to think about that, friends, and think, yes, I need to be in his presence. I need to hear from my Lord what he is saying to me And, you know, Mary, it says, she chose the better part. She sat at the feet of her Saviour. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to work, because we all have to work in one way or another. But our calling must continue, friends. Whatever and wherever your calling is at this present time, please let us all be encouraged to spend that time at the feet of Jesus. Let us look now at Mary and how Mary showed her devotion to her Lord. Very different to her sister. Sisters are always very different, aren't they? Yes. and we see that one is busy doing the work, and the other was busy sitting and listening. Both very important parts. And now we see how Mary showed her devotion. Martha's was by catering, by providing for Jesus and his disciples, by getting food for them, making sure that they rested before they moved on to Jerusalem. Having seen Jesus restoring Lazarus back to life from death, we see the power and the authority that Jesus displayed. Mary, at this point in time, was desperately wanting to return that love that Jesus has shown to them as a family. And she did this by sitting at his feet. Oh, a bit difficult to see. Can you see it? Just. Thank you. So here we see, sorry, it's not very bright, but here we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and anointing him. Notice how she'd let her hair down and she had the jar of perfume at her hand there. To me, what a beautiful picture that shows. Gratitude. Gratitude being outpoured on the feet of Jesus. We see not only the gratitude, but the love that she showed to her Lord. He'd restored her brother, but more than that, Jesus meant so much to Mary. We see her actions, kneeling, weeping, washing, and then being able to dry his feet with her hair. All before she anointed him with the most expensive ointment. The scripture tells us the perfume filled the whole house where they were sitting. When I looked at this picture, I just saw humility. What does humility mean to us? Are we humble enough? Do we take the time? Do we show the love for our Master by sitting at his feet? In Jewish culture, it was improper for a woman to let her hair down in company. Yet Mary overlooked all the cultures. She showed love, devotion. All this overrides culture at times. There are times, friends, when many Christians overlook culture in Eastern countries and further abroad. We see Christians overlooking culture, and this is why they have to suffer, because they're going against the regime, because they love their Lord. I find this quite challenging. Do I mind what people say or think about me when I tell them I am a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? Is my love and devotion so important that I would stand up, whichever country I was in, I would stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian? It could be very difficult, and as you know, many of our brothers and sisters end up in the prisons, don't they, for saying that, and they suffer so much. Just an example, my sister-in-law, who lives in the Gambia, and she is a Muslim, and we text maybe once a week. And she's been trying to explain Islam to me. She's been trying to get me to convert to Islam, because she said, this is the only true religion. Wait, what did I respond with? So I was able then, she just left the door wide open there, well, you're a Muslim, but I'm a Christian. And we're very different in our beliefs. And then I was able to briefly give her the gospel. And I thought, well, she may be in the Gambia, but she's got the gospel now, and she knows. But I did actually say to her, you know, I don't mean to offend your religion and what you think and believe, but please, and I underlined it, please be aware, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. And it took her a long time to write back to me, but she did eventually. So, you know, I just pray for her, and I pray that one day we will see fruit from those two texts, and that she will come to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Saviour. You know, we sing many times, how deep is the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son. Friends, what love, what humility, what a precious Saviour we have. I wonder sometimes if we value our salvation enough. You know, there's many times, like as you're getting older, like me, there's times when you think, well, I've been a Christian for so many years. Does it become lukewarm to us? It shouldn't do. Friends, let's remember the love of the Father, the love of the Son is the most important thing. Because one day we're going to have to meet them, aren't we? The Father gave his Son, precious Son, to die for us. Friends, let's now come to the next point, which is Lazarus. Lazarus and Judas are in these 8 verses. Lazarus, we found, he to be reclining at the table with Jesus and his disciples, listening intently to all that was being said. Lazarus, the one who Jesus raised from the dead. Yeah, no wonder. I'm sure that Lazarus would have wanted to be sitting next to Jesus. Can you imagine them all sitting around there? And Lazarus had been restored to his family by Jesus. What love Lazarus must have had for his Lord. What joy in being able to celebrate this time of Jesus in Bethany with his sisters. If we was to look back at chapter 11, we read that how Lazarus, we know that the story, how he became sick and died, and then John recording the raising of Lazarus with the words of Jesus. And when they wanted Jesus to go to the grave, you know, Jesus went. Jesus wept. What love was shown then. You know, friends, we need to see. Let's not just pass these scriptures by, because each scripture is so important. Yes, and then we see that Jesus at the grave, what did he say? Lazarus, come out. What happened? Out came Lazarus. What power our Jesus, our God has. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. And the sinner, he draws to himself. It's a beautiful picture because then Jesus, when Lazarus came out, we know the story. How the clothes was taken off him. And he was able to rejoin them. You know, with the going back to chapter 12, we see how worshipping the one who gave his life for us. He gave his life for Mary, Martha, Lazarus, for his disciples who were with him. Can you imagine just being there in the presence of Jesus? It must have been electric. The things, the conversations that were going on, it must have been so good. But there we see Lazarus alone, sitting with his Redeemer. Friends, one day that's going to be us, sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're going to see him. If we remain faithful in our walk with our Lord, one day we're going to see him face to face. We won't just be coming into Woodstock Baptist Church. We will be with our Lord. And what a day to look forward to, either when Jesus returns or takes us home. Then we move on to look at Judas. Chapter 6 and verse 70 says, Jesus says, I have chosen you, yet one of you will betray me. Again, you know, we all know the story of Judas. But Judas we see as a disciple. He had the privilege of carrying the money bag. And he often dipped into it for his own needs and requirements. Today, friends, what do we see? we don't see a Judas carrying the money bag. We see a treasurer who carries the money for us. And thankfully, our treasurer never dips into the money bag. So you can all be aware of that. So I'm pleased to record that. And as I said, the treasurer, he prefers to put money into the bag and not take it out. Judas, a thief and a robber. And friends, we know his end. Yet he was there and he was listening to what Jesus had to say to them in Bethany. He saw the love and devotion coming from Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he still betrayed Jesus. Whatever situation we're in, friends, let's run the race. Let's keep faithful. Let's be obedient. Let's keep loving our Lord and Saviour. Keep rooted in your faith. Keep rooted in your devotion and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Saviour. Let's continue to serve him as both Mary and Martha did. Each one of us has a task. We've all got different ministries within the fellowship. Let us be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to each other. We all need each other. Jesus had his disciples. He was able to teach. They was able to sit and listen. They was able to experience the miracles that Jesus did. They was able to experience what Mary did, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Friends, may we be ones who don't miss the mark. Let us be faithful. Let us trust. Let us spend time in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only place where we will see his true love. We will sense his guidance in our lives. Mary, Martha, Lazarus opened their home to Jesus and his disciples. Is there a point here for us? Could we open our home, you know, for people who don't know Jesus? Could we be the ones who are a living testimony to what Jesus Christ has done for us and for them? Let's continue to run the race. Let's continue to be faithful to our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So now in closing, there is a PowerPoint. Have you got it there? It's a closing prayer. Right, so can we just stand and say this together? Right, in every moment, every day, may we know the embrace of God's love. May we hear the whisper of his voice. May we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the grace of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit be upon us and with us this coming week and always. That is my prayer, and we just need to close. think we've got, have we not got a hymn? Yes. Yes. So we close with, to God be the glory.